From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you and welcome. Bill Michaels Show. We are broadcasting live down here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Now, here's the deal. I have an hour left of my show. You've got four more hours after that to get down here and hang out and drop off a new unwrapped toy. By the way, thanks to our friends from Allstate who are back here again today. Our friends from Allstate, not only are they here right now volunteering to collect the toys, but they also, for a donation, they're giving you an Allstate bear, a little teddy bear to go along with it. So that's good stuff. So come on out and say hi to the good folks from Allstate. Say hi to us. Drop off a new unwrapped toy or a monetary donation. The parking lot was jammed a little while ago. It has opened up since. Like I've been saying all along, we cannot do this without you. So please, if you can come and join us and drop off a new unwrapped toy for the kids of Children's Hospital, we would so appreciate it. And we want to say thanks to you in person. So if you can make it here, that would be absolutely awesome. Joining us now, one of the two that are supposed to be here, Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58. Kevin Holden, now you were working out with Kevin. You got him on a workout regimen now, huh?
Yeah, today was the first day, so...
Oh, God.
I don't know what happened to him.
Oh, he's dead.
Oh, God.
He's dead. Yeah. He's right now at a Dairy Queen in a drive-thru. He's got maybe what I can describe as a blizzard sitting in his lap that's now melted, and he's dead.
He's just...
His wife, Christy's probably feeling his pulse and, you know, calling the ambulance, and he's dead. Somebody hit him with the paddles and melted his ice cream.
He probably is napping at home, and, you know, and he's missing out on this. So, I mean, I've got to be comic relief for him.
I bet he's on his way, and he's going to say, well, I was stuck in traffic. I left the office late. I couldn't get my tie tied. I got it stuck in the door. I wasn't wearing the right pants. You know, we were booking tickets for a trip to Switzerland or whatever.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, he travels all over the world, for God's sake. So, anyway, Kevin Holden from CBS 58, if you're out there, or you see him maybe sleeping on the highway, or maybe you're an 80-year-old person with a cane getting out of a car in the Blaine's Farm and Fleet parking lot, please go over to Kevin and help him out, because he may need a cane, too, after his first workout, I would assume, in a very long time.
One of those rascal scooters.
So, yeah, he's got... Well, we should take one of those little yellow light scooters from Blaine's Farm and Fleet out to pick him up when he gets here. Kind of like a bullpen cart, but for an older person. So let me ask you this. First and foremost, what's the weather going to be like on Sunday up at Lambeau Field?
Oh, talk about a mess. So this big storm system moves in. Most of the state gets rain, but then up north, I mean, they maybe see... You know, mixing going on Saturday night and Sunday, most likely you're going to have snow showers throughout the day. I'll tell you, I was looking at SeatGeek the other day just to kind of get an idea. I saw single tickets, Bill, lower bowl, $49.
I know.
It's like a preseason game.
Yep.
That was
you and I were talking. I think you shared that with me on Twitter. Yeah, it's... People are bailing. You know what? I mean, it's one thing if you're playing in great weather and your team, or bad weather and your team's in it.
Right.
Not a whole lot of people wanting to go sit outside for a team that really has a very, very, very outside shot at even making the postseason and seems to be somewhat dysfunctional right now.
That's the thing. You know, I mean, I'm such a big Packer fan, and I'm always on the fence because when the game starts, I'm like, okay, there's hope, right? It's
right.
The old Aaron Rodgers is going to do what he needs to do, and yeah, mathematically they're still in and they can, you know, win the rest of the games, and yeah, maybe the Vikings could drop a couple and here or there. But then for the first time, Bill, yesterday, I actually started looking at the draft, you know, and thinking.
Really? Man, okay.
You know, if you could, I know you've talked a lot about it, you know, that draft where you got B.J. Raji and you came back in and you got Clay Matthews. I mean, what's to say we couldn't have something similar to bring, you know, some guys? Like, if you had, I'm not talking bringing in several cornerbacks, but if you had another couple of Jaire Alexanders, guys that could come in, immediately help you. Look where that team will be, you know, next year. I mean, it could be a very fast, you know, turnaround. That's what I'm hoping for. But then, again, there's part of me at noon on Sunday when the weather's garbage and I'm sitting there, you know, on my couch going, okay, we can do this, and then I'm just conflicted. Like, and there's probably a lot of Packer fans that are probably like that too, saying, I guess there's still a chance. I don't want to root for my team to lose, but
right.
if they do, well, then their stock is going up in the draft, right?
Yeah. I'm not looking to the draft yet. And I'm not, though, betting my house that the Packers are going to make it to the postseason.
No.
I still think they've got a very tough game against Chicago that's coming up.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be easy against Detroit, although Detroit's not going to have anything to play for. And
right.
playing outdoors in cold weather, they're going to have the bus running, but they have to get – and let's be honest, Atlanta's not a bad team. They're just not winning football games right now. They're a lot like the Green Bay Packers.
They really
are trying to find themselves.
Yeah, that's a frustrating, real frustrating team. You know, the sad part of all of this, Bill, is this year with the NFC, so much parity and just so much mediocrity. Well, really
right.
across the board, you know, in both, you know, the AFC and NFC. This was a perfect opportunity for the Packers to get hot and, you know, and hang around for a wild card, just because there's just been, you know, just a lot of teams that are saying, eh, you know. We can kind of hang around. I thought the Packers were, you know, were going to do that, but so far they've figured out, you know, that they can't play, you know, four quarters of football and, you know, kind of crap the bed in the second half, and that's exactly what's been going on.
855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, you can. Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58. Sports fan, weather aficionado, as we'll put it, joining us down here. If he is much like, somebody just sent me a little poster of a Where's Waldo, and says that they think they see Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in the picture with Waldo. So if you've seen Kevin, let us know. No, Kevin is putting on his Montreal Expos hat.
Oh, here
he's making his way over. He is walking gingerly, yeah. as I can only assume that he has got a groin pull, a hamstring pull,
yeah.
maybe a sore quadricep. And he was in the ice tub trying to get his body back into shape.
Got to get him one of those cryogenic.
He had his first workout, and he's even got butt cramps that don't no longer allow him to sit. So there you go. We are broadcasting live down here. Blaine's Farm and Fleet. It is a toy drive, our 12th annual for our friends at WSSP, our flagship station out of Milwaukee, 105.7 FM, The Fan. By the way, if you want to donate, go to 105.7FMTheFan.com. That's 105.7FMTheFan.com. Kevin, you can sit down and throw a headset on whenever you want, man.
Are
how you
okay?
been? You doing okay?
We're worried.
So I don't know how much you guys have talked about. I imagine he's caught you up to date on the day's activities.
That you were your first workout?
He tried to kill me today.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I said you were dead in probably a Dairy Queen drive-thru.
Dude, I went home. I went home and had 64 scoops of vanilla ice cream to make up for what happened there at the gym today. Wow.
what did you do?
It was just, you know, chest, arms, but, like, it's been
so you actually
years.
Worked out. It wasn't like you just went to the gym and sat in a hot tub. I can't get all the water out of me. The bubbles. My pants filled up.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, he's just going to leave me on a treadmill for 4 hours,
yeah.
you know, the road to nowhere. But, no, it was, I mean, it's a legitimate way. First of all, and I, you know, I don't know how much you send this out here, Drew, to the public, but dude's a fiend. I mean, he's crazy in the gym.
Okay.
And he's got this great plan, and so I'm like, I gotta make that happen. I've
right.
been, you know, adding.
I was just telling him when he got here, we've had food, we've had sandwiches, we've had chilies, we had cakes, pies. Listeners are bringing us cookies, although every now and then I'm afraid that I'm going to get a big old dose of X-Lax cookie, but for somebody that doesn't like me, and during the huddle I'll have the screamers, and you'll hear an echo in the background. They're like, where'd you set up? Well, we're at Who's on Third, but we're in the bathroom today doing the show. The show must go on. But yeah, no, I get it. This time of year, you'll pack it on.
So he tried to help me take it off, and then I texted Scott.
But you're not supposed to take it all off in one day.
That's true. I wonder if I'm going to lose like 30 today. Well, I told Scott, I said, I'm 53% Jell-O, and he said, that's all right. Drew's 97% steel. That was yeah. the text message.
I was happy to do it. I'm happy to see you. I really was getting worried.
Yeah, no, sorry. That was.
You know it's time to work out when you breathe heavy putting on your shoes.
It's and yeah.
You know?
That lean over.
Yeah. And you do that. Because you can't breathe because your gut's pressing against your knees, you know, and you're wondering if you've got saddlebags from leaning forward and fat has moved to your back and now you can't see the upper half of your butt. That's like watching one of those spongy dolls for stress, you know, when you squeeze it and the eyes pop out.
Yeah.
If you lean forward and your belly button pops out, you know it's
That's
time
it.
To start working.
That's the time.
Hit the gym.
So and it, rather than wait until January, if you have it your habits in place, at the end of December, you're in good shape. I hope we have a busy January, and I hope that I have to balance the two. I'm not optimistic that we're going to have a busy
right.
January, but I hope so.
We were sitting here talking about this Packers team. Now, first of all, the weather's going to be iffy in Green Bay, so I don't know if they're going to be able to cover the 14-point spread. However, They should win this game, right?
This one. Two-win Arizona team, coaching change, Josh Rosen. I mean, everything about this tells you that the Packers, even if certain parts of the whole are in disarray, that they would have enough parts to pick up. If they don't, then you're talking about a cultural change.
If they don't, you may see a coaching change on Monday.
Which what a rarity, right?
Right.
You would never see that in Green Bay.
If they play poorly and you get Cobb back and you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't get hurt any further, and, you know, now granted you're going to be without Bakhtiari most likely, but now if you win the next two games and beat Atlanta, Atlanta's the same type of team. Atlanta's searching for an identity now too. They got a good quarterback. They paid him. Everything's supposed to be fine.
It's at home.
And it's at home. They can't, you know, and Atlanta can't win. So if they beat Atlanta as well, if they win the next two, does winning begin to cure everything? And all of a sudden you can start to raise an eyebrow going, wait a minute.
Well, it's going to take more than two, I think.
Or does it mean that, you know, hey, once they go to Chicago and get punched in the face, then reality sets in and the season's over. But what if they win the next three?
If they go to Chicago and win, now here's how the narrative changes in my mind. Now you have a winning record, 7-6-1,
right.
And that's
right.
A step. It's not what Packers fans are accustomed to, but it's a step. But the other thing is you want a road game, and you want a pretty big road game over the leaders of the division. And that's where – right now, where the issues are coming in, and we're talking about, you know, where is Aaron Rodgers and how is he and how are his fundamentals and how are the Packers behind Davante Adams at receiver and how can they handle pressure up front and linebackers? You know, I mean, all these right. little things. If you win three in a row, I think you'll see enough good things in those parts that those are the conversations that'll change. It won't be Mike McCarthy somehow a better coach. It'll be, oh, well, you know, Kenny Clark really needs to be in a Pro Bowl.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Let's do this. We're going to go and take a quick break. We're broadcasting live at Blaine's Farm and Fleet out here in Oak Creek. And it is the Toy Drive, the 12th annual. Looking for toys, new unwrapped toys. We're looking for cash, donations, whatever it happens to be, whatever you can do, please come on by to Blaine's Farm and Fleet here in Oak Creek. Or you can make a donation online at 1057fmthefan.com. We are brought to you by our good friends at Cousin Subs. And picture yourself sitting on the 50-yard line, Lambeau Field, plush leather recliners. You can get registered for that daily. The VIP experience brought to you by Cousin Subs. Go to Packers.com/best seats. That's Packers.com/best seats. And get yourself registered to win that incredible prize package from our friends at Cousin Subs. More live down here on the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show. We are broadcasting live. We're at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. Come on down. Rawson Avenue, and we are getting toys and donations. Bill from New Berlin just came by and dropped off a bunch of toys. Dan from California listening donated $50.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Dave, Kelly, and everybody from Allstate, they were here and are here, and they just went in and shopped and donated a bunch of toys as well. So I can't say thanks. And the people from Allstate have been just fantastic. And in addition, if you drop off a donation, while they last, they're giving you these little teddy bears as well. So if you got kids with you, it's awesome stuff. So come on by and say hello. We'd be glad to have you joining us here. Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58, along with Kevin Holden, aching from CBS 58, from actually doing something physical. Now, are you your own photog, by the way?
Every once in a while. It's not as often as Scott.
So in other
Christina.
Words, the last time you lifted a camera, you were breathing heavy and said, I got to do something or I'm going to die.
Yeah, that's about right. That's
because panting.
Well, and you know, you do these road games.
Right.
So we just did this double dip. Scott and I did where, of course, we were just terrific luck. We may be banned from covering Wisconsin sports. We saw Badgers and Packers back-to-back days. Terrible.
So you
weekend.
Went out to Camp Randall and then drove to Minneapolis, basically, yeah.
So we just saw two eggs just drop side by side. But
yeah, two just bad stink bombs, basically. Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's a moment in there where we're shooting stuff for each other, you know. Like if Scott is something on camera and I'm with him, I'll shoot that.
Right.
And, you know, he said, yeah, just don't worry. Just put it on your shoulder and do this little slow zoom in. I put it on the shoulder. It's like there was an earthquake at Camp Randall. Just, you know, shake, 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 shake. And he's like, you can't hold that steady? And I'm like, Maybe I can't. Maybe I need to do something
about
that.
You might have, you know, lifting anything other than a burger, if that hurts you. You know, just want to throw it out there, you know. God, I used to know because I used to thought my tummy was leaking. I couldn't see anything below the equator, so I get it. I know where you come from. Hey, getting back into Packer football before we move on. Aaron Rodgers, you heard him speak yesterday. He was asked a lot about his footwork, about his technique. The national pundits are now looking over the fence. Is the criticism warranted on Aaron Rodgers, guys?
You know, Mike Clemens brought it up after the Viking game. He was talking to, I think, some of the folks that cover the Vikings media, and they ragged on the Packers' offensive line. And, you know, the more and more I thought about it, and I'm not giving Aaron Rodgers a pass, but my hope is in the offseason, maybe this doesn't answer your question, is that they really look at addressing seriously, you know, the right side of that line. You know, Bakhtiari is good. I think Corey Linsley's good. Lane Taylor, I guess, is fine. But yeah. But if you just spent all that money on this cat and he's running around, getting hit, third down has been awful for the Packers.
Right.
I mean, they're terrible. You know, I don't know if he's running scared or tripping around or what he's doing, but they need to invest in that. And it may be one of those first-round picks that we have that someone may think, oh, it's going to be pass rusher.
That'll be interesting because I guess it depends on what falls to you, Kevin, but you're going to need a pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need more secondary help. Defensively speaking, everybody thinks that you're going to need additional, you know, bodies there. So do you go out and then take, if your first guy falls to you, as an offensive lineman? You know, if you're Brian Gutekunst, but in reality, that might not be the worst thing in the world.
It might not be because the best available thing that we heard all those years with Ted Thompson was, you know, such a thing that you would get someone that may not fit your position of need. But in this case, that's a legitimate position of need. I think that's the number one thing that we're seeing. I'm a little in between. I know that Rodgers has missed some throws, that the throw to Devontae in the end zone was just you know, breaks your heart. But because
never misses that, right?
Yeah. He's capable of more than that, right? But he's got this arrangement right now with a patchwork offensive line and this receiver group that behind Devontae Adams are dudes who are playing at Grand Valley State a year ago, right? Like, he's mm-hmm. got young receivers that he's brought to a certain point, but you can only bring rookie receivers so far. My thought on it is then you get to the offseason. You trust what you've done with the rookie receivers. They'll develop. They'll get a year older. That group will get deeper. Maybe Geronimo comes back healthy. I don't think Randall Cobb comes back. You fix yourself along.
You got to get another wide receiver. You got to get one more.
Right. Like, someone to go opposite, right? Like, the fact that Devontae has been as good as he has without a lot of help behind him has been pretty incredible.
Geronimo will go opposite. Now, the next guy up, if you put some meat on him, Marquez Valdez-Scantling seems to be the go-to guy. He's got the wheels and all the playmaking ability. The guy after that, I know Jamon Moore has a ton of talent, but I love Equanimeous St. Brown mm-hmm. as a guy that can go across the middle.
Yeah.
He's kind of, to me, athletically, probably about on the same par, maybe a little give or take, with Donald Driver.
Yeah.
He's in that same area that he can make this team or break this team if he becomes a viable asset.
And don't they strike you, both Valdez-Scantling and St. Brown, as sort of when they speak, they're a little mature beyond what you expect
right.
from a rookie receiver. Like, both of them spoke yesterday in the locker room.
They got their head on straight, too.
Yeah. Like, that's great news, right?
Right.
Sometimes it takes a guy a couple of years, especially you're a receiver in an Aaron Rodgers offense. That's pressure.
Right.
If you drop a couple of games, you know, coming up, to me, I was talking with someone the other day, I want to see these young guys out there. This is your future, right?
Right.
You know, not to say, okay, this veteran isn't going to, you know, play, but I want Rodgers out there so he can develop that relationship, because clearly we know in training camp they don't develop anything. I mean, you know, training camp has been Aaron Rodgers coaching other people and not working on, you know, his stuff, right? That's what we keep hearing. And with a new coach, maybe that'll change. But to me, I want to see what these young guys, you know, have, and this is a wonderful experience. I want to see this Jamon Moore. You know, I want to see, you know, MVS and St. Brown, you know, take, you know, more and more reps, because I think they did really well. I think Goody hit it out of the park with a couple of those guys.
He's had a really good first draft. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And Ted's last draft was, when you talk about Williams and when you talk about Aaron Jones, Kevin King, if he can come back and be healthy, I mean,
right.
You know, but I still think you need to draft for additional secondary help because Kevin King can't stay on the field. So you knew he had injury issues when you drafted him, but he seems to be a guy that has all the tools. He's got to stay on the field for an extended period of time. But Ted's last draft wasn't terrible, but boy, 14 through 16 just buried this franchise, unfortunately.
That's the truth.
That's what you're paying back right now. Obviously, unless there's some massive overhaul and this thing just gets off running, we're going to be talking about a coaching change as well. When you talk about the coaching change and everybody discusses it, who would be the next head coach? I don't care who it is, but the pressure on this next pick is enormous. Because you can't waste 2 years waiting for it all to come to fruition so Aaron Rodgers can give you a Super Bowl. it's got to be now. There is no tomorrow with, well, we'll develop it. No, this is it. You've got 3 to 4 years maybe of him being really good.
Sure.
And then you have to maintain. You kind of got to, like, flip it like John Elway did, where he said, okay, we got the best offense. And no, we need the best defense. And then Von Miller falls into your lap and everything takes off from there. So a guy then manages the game. No, you need to hit now. And there is no tomorrow in this franchise anymore.
If you ever wondered if Aaron Rodgers was not the center of everything Packers, then this is the moment where you know it's true. Because if you think about this team as it's constructed right now, we'll unfocus the eyes a little bit, take Rodgers out as the quarterback and put, I don't care who, find me, Marcus Mariota, whatever, doesn't matter. Whoever in the middle, I think the whole narrative, everything that everyone would talk about is they're young at receiver and they're young at running back and they're young in the secondary and Jair Alexander, they look like a 2020 competitor if you don't have Rodgers right in the mix. And that the person who's next as a coach, and this is Gutekunst as a GM too, has got to bridge that.
Right.
There is no such thing as a rebuild in Green Bay. You spent a quarter century with Favre and Rodgers as your quarterbacks. You spent a quarter century with Holmgren and McCarthy as your head coaches. Like, there is no
right
2 years from now. Like, that's right. This team would be that if it wasn't for Rodgers.
Yeah. I do want to ask you one more thing. When it comes to the expectation for winning, there was this knocking down of the silos in the offseason because they expect to win and they expect to win now. Has that worked? Now that we sit back and look at where this team is at, Mike McCarthy sitting there on the hot seat, everybody assumes that his job is he's dead man walking, and there's a question about the power within the organization, and Mark Murphy versus Gutekunst, and, you know, is this working? I mean, Bob Harlan was the guy that went and said, you can't have a general manager and a head coach and president of football operations all being a tri-headed monster. You got to find one football guy. That's the guy that runs football. The other guy runs the business, and that's it. And then you get out of it. Is it working?
To be determined, I think. I mean, really, I want to see what happens in this offseason. You know, Mark Murphy's done a great job, the financials and building Titletown, and that's part of it. But I also think he neglected and let Ted run roughshod. And we all know last couple – something wasn't right with him, right? I mean,
nobody wants to dance on the health issue because nobody knows for sure.
No.
And
no.
Nobody wants to get sued.
Right.
But I go back to the one of the better decisions in the Supreme Court when they said, try to define pornography, and they said, we can't define it, but we know it when we see it.
Mm-hmm.
When Ted Thompson, we were saying he was off, can't define it, but we knew it because we saw it.
And I think that was just too long of a leash, you know. And now, so all this stuff is, you know, in my mind has come to fruition. But I think it's all going to come to a head, you know, at the end here because, okay, since Gutekunst, he can't technically fire Mike McCarthy, right? So now it goes to Mark Murphy. Well, let's see. If these silos are coming down, you know, let's see what happens. To me, it would have to be Mark and, you know, the general manager in lockstep, both there saying, we feel this is the best for our organization moving on, right? I don't know. That's the way I see it.
But can I give you my worry with that?
Sure.
In a normal – for whatever reason, the Patriots fell apart. I would imagine that Belichick would be gone the next day after the last game of the regular season. My worry is that Mark Murphy and whatever structure this is, whatever room of people this has turned into, are all going to get together and meet about this. And instead of – if the decision is to get rid of Mike McCarthy, instead of doing it December 31st, they do it January 12th or 14th or 17th.
People are already starting to look for other jobs.
You spend 2 weeks in limbo. And those 2 weeks in limbo are the worst because you have teams in the playoffs, and the more they win, the more those guys become desirable, right?
Right.
But other teams are already moving, making the moves that they need to make. That's my concern, is that if this turns into a red tape situation – and he's gone 2 weeks later, that they're behind,
and
way behind.
In addition to that, who's hiring? Is Gutekunst?
Yeah.
Who comes out, takes you to dinner and likes you, says, okay, let's go, you got the job? Or is it, let's go meet Mark Murphy tomorrow, and then Murphy and I will talk about it, and then we'll let you, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, my assumption is that they know better, you know, but I agree with you that there's a genuine concern there when you have a two-headed monster that's actually running your football organization. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. Hang in. You guys want to stick around for one more?
I'm good you're good.
Okay, I know we got some buy or sell we got to get to. Maybe you guys can participate in buy or sell. Joe, does that sound good? Let's do that. These guys will participate in buy or sell as well. So hang in there. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show and a really funky version of buy or sell coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things. But does it pass the big unit test? Let's play Buy or Sell. Brought to you by Bryant & Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 12 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are broadcasting live at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. We're here in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, and that's where you can track us down. We're on Rawson Avenue, joined by Drew Burgoyne, the meteorologist from CBS 58, hanging out with us, and also Kevin Holden, the sports director over at CBS 58, and Scott Grodzki's boss, who is going to be with us tonight from Who's on Third. We got a whole CBS 58 day going on out here. I just realized
it.
That, yeah.
I love it.
You guys should be like, we need Jessica Tighe, and we need your whole evening crew, and we got to get all of them down here.
Walsh has been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, he would absolutely do it.
He popped in on a huddle a couple of years ago, just like a segment.
Right.
And he'd love it. And the thing about Walsh is, picture this. It's, you know, it's me, and it's Drew, and it's Walsh, and there are times in the afternoon where we go all the way sideways. Like, you know, we should be getting stuff done, but
right.
The three of us are breaking down the offensive line.
Right.
Like it's bad.
There you go. Bring them all along. I don't care. We did one years ago with another station that I was at that point in time where we had the whole morning crew.
Really?
The whole morning show.
That's
showed
awesome.
Up. You know, traffic person included.
I like it.
You know? So when you start talking about, you know, with the route running and traffic on the outside, that's when you throw it over to the traffic person and basically give you the helicopter view in that particular sense. Meanwhile, Radio Joe back in the studios, and he's bringing it buy or sell. So we got the trifecta of buy or sell here today. Radio Joe, what do you got?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. We are making history because we've never had three guys involved in a buy or sell segment. We've had two, but not three. So we are making history here on the Bill Michaels
the
Show.
The menage a trois.
Oh, geez.
Of by yourself.
Yes. Ayo. All right. So
there you go.
Here's the first one. It is ridiculous to even think Paul Chryst's job is on the hot seat. Buy or sell?
Me, I will start off and I will say I'm selling. He is not on the hot seat. Even if next year turns out like this year, he's not on the hot seat because of a lot of the youth. But you need to show progression, you need to show hope, you need to show promise, and you need to win games for money. So, Paul Chryst, is he on the hot seat? I am selling on that. No.
I'm absolutely in agreement with you on that.
Thank
it would
you very
be
much.
Insane to think right now that you would put that guy on the hot seat over a couple of bad games that happened in this season. The expectations were set high last year. They can absolutely return there next year.
Yeah, you know, he's done so many good things. I can't imagine that they're not going to take a step forward, you know, next year.
There you go.
Buy
we all sell.
Or sell.
All right. This one might cause a little bit more controversy.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers' problems on offense are now more of a Rodgers problem than they are a McCarthy problem.
Ooh. My initial inclination is to say I'm buying that. But ultimately, the problems that they're in were allowed to happen on the watch of one Mike McCarthy. So as much as I can technically point to Aaron Rodgers, the ultimate, because it got to this point, is on the head coach. So I'm going to sell. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's Mike McCarthy. The problem is now Aaron Rodgers, but the ultimate responsibility, as you put it, is on Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, 100% agree on this, that whether Rodgers misses a receiver in some upcoming game, he's going to be magnified right now, but that isn't what the question is, which is the underlying issue. And the underlying issue goes back a couple of years, and it goes back to, you know, play calling and coaching and that sort of thing. It is more of a McCarthy problem still for me than Rodgers. I sell.
I'm just going to change it up, and I'm going to buy it.
Yep.
You know, we bought this guy for, you know, for a lot of money. He can do things. I don't see him throwing open receivers. I don't see him throwing jump balls. I don't see him taking risks. Yes, you got young guys, but you know what? Every quarterback has to, you know, play with these young guys. And sometimes I think too many times I hear, we got to get the ball just to Devontae. We got to get, you know, matchups and this and that. And I think I've seen so many times, remember when Jordy Nelson went down? They were a mess. They couldn't function because they were so focused on, you know, one guy. And I think it's just up to Rodgers to be able to spread the ball around. And so I'll change it up a little bit and put it on him.
Buy or sell?
The Packers have at least three current Pro Bowlers on their team this season. And can you
name them?
Well, yeah.
Can you name them, gentlemen?
Current Pro Bowlers. Devontae Adams could be looked at. See, and my term is, is it a voted on Pro Bowler, or are we talking about an alternate that will make it to the Pro Bowl? Because if I had to go with that.
Let's put it this way. We're talking about guys this season for the Packers that have made an impact to the point of, you could say, yeah, they should be a Pro Bowler this year.
I will say they have one, and that is Kenny Clark.
So you sell.
I will sell on it. I think they have one. Aaron Rodgers is not going to make it. Maybe Devontae Adams or Mike Daniels is an alternate. Maybe a guy like Jaire Alexander, but he doesn't have enough of a name because he's had a hell of a first year. Bakhtiari should get it, a vote in. But I'm going to say if I had to pick one guy I would pick right now, I would most likely say it's going to be Kenny Clark. Maybe Blake Martinez, but he's not enough name recognition for him to get in.
There's not enough numbers, you know. There's not enough interceptions and sacks and all of that. I'd say Kenny Clark, and that's probably it.
You're hitting on one of the things that's missing with this team. You know, it's not that the secondary is terrible like we used to say
right. In
previous years. It's that there isn't anything that stands out in a lot of different.
You know, I keep going back to the conversation. I was listening to Sunday Night Football, and Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels talking about great teams, and Collinsworth said to be great, you have to have a Pro Bowler. A voted-on Pro Bowler, very good at each level. Lineman, linebacker, safety, and then in your secondary. Yeah. And they don't have it.
They don't.
They
no,
don't. They don't. I'm selling it.
Selling it.
Buy or sell?
Over to the Brewers. Ken Rosenthal reporting that there is a chance, a very high chance, that the Brewers will decide to non-tender Jonathan Scope, making him a free agent. Let's say this happens. Buy or sell? It will go down as the worst trade David Stearns has made so far as general manager of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Ooh. I'm trying to think because everything else he's done, he's pretty much turned to gold.
He's
so,
had a
yeah,
lot of hits.
I would say this would probably be his worst trade. Yeah, because Scope gave you, other than the Grand Slam, which kept you in the hunt during the win streak, that won you a ball game, Scope didn't do anything. Specifically in the postseason, he didn't do anything to help you. So, yeah, you could probably say in his young career it would be his worst, but that's because everything else has been pretty much gold. You know what I mean? Or
yeah.
Been really helpful, and it's turned out very positive.
Can I throw
like
some?
Move,
let yeah, me ahead, throw John. Something your way. Here's another trade that some could debate has not really worked out for the Brewers. Remember when they traded Chris Davis? Two guys that came back in that deal include Bubba Derby and Jacob Nottingham.
Yeah.
That trade hasn't really looked good on the surface so far for Stearns.
And that was a Stearns trade?
Yes, it was.
I forgot about Chris Davis being a Stearns trade.
Chris
Davis's average is still the same. He's giving you the same power numbers that he was giving you when he was here. But
here's the difference for me. Chris Davis was a guy that you were giving an opportunity to do something elsewhere. Scope was the acquisition of a piece that was supposed to put you over the top.
Right.
If Scope was supposed to be what he was going to be, you were going to have this lineup with five infielders for four spots. You could be flexible, have a great bat off the bench. Scope not being that, let that not happen. And it was that much of a difference in a seven-game loss to the Dodgers. So
yeah.
In terms of the effect, I agree. I think it's the worst trade he's had. I'd say I'd buy it.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
There you go.
Buy or sell.
All right, gentlemen, last one for you. Last night, Chris Money Middleton comes up with a clutch three-pointer. As the Bucks survive to the Chicago Bulls knocking them off by three. That situation from Chris Middleton buy or sell continues to prove why he deserves to have max money.
That's a part of it. He will get max money. I think Eric Name brought up a really good point. Do you not want to pay him and risk losing him and pissing off Giannis? Because him and Giannis are pretty tight. Giannis has already lost a coach, even though it turned out to be one of the better things for Giannis. I mean, unless you let Middleton walk and you spent a ton of money, which we know they're going to have this coming offseason, and brought in a top shooter, top point guard that's going to work even better with him, do you really want to get rid of Middleton for a quibbling over $3 to $5 million and risk losing Giannis because he's going to look at you and say, well, you're not really fortifying the team when you said you would, or just spend the money for a guy that's a good player? He's not in the essence of great, but he's good. And he's probably better than the Michael Redd max contract, what you had to make at the time. So I would say I'm you need to keep Chris Middleton around. I'm in that camp.
That may upset the coach too. You know, it seems like Coach Bud said, you know, he's
right.
These are some pieces.
Well, don't forget Middleton and Giannis were the two guys that kind of quote player wise interviewed him
right.
for the job. I don't know if he wants to see Middleton go.
I love Middleton. I think he's one of the smoothest shooters. And by the way, he's doing something. He was asked to shoot more threes, and that's not something maybe he was necessarily comfortable with. And he said, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I can do. That's a guy that I want as a foundation, you know, on that team.
Acquisition of talent from the outside has not been a good thing for the Bucks through the years. You might get someone with the talent level of a Chris Middleton, but the attitude of a Steven Jackson or a Monte Ellis. And that's the thing that Middleton also has. He's an important part of this team. You can debate how important, but I think important is the base. But he's also, like, when you ever hear about it outside of what's going on
right.
the court, there's no craziness
no.
there. Good part of a good locker room, and that should be rewarded with a max contract.
There you have it. That is our buyer-sell segment. Radio Joe bringing it back in the studio. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We have a final segment coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.